All right, today being the 15th day of February 2026, we are looking at lesson number 7. We're going to finish this out today. The lesson is entitled Rivers of Living Water. And our key verse says from the book of John, chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. What a blessing it is. The weight that is lifted off of us when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And man, I thank God for that day. Now, we have looked at this lesson. We've gone through several sections on it here today. We looked at the discourse at the feast. But today, we're going to be in, I want you to go back to John chapter 7 here just a moment. And we're going to begin in verse number, let's go back here. I'm going to go back to verse number 52 as we go into chapter number 8. And we're going to look at this dismissal of the adulterous woman. This is in section number 2 of your lesson plan today. But I want us to look at this. The Bible said, they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Now this is talking to Nicodemus here, okay? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. They had seen the miracles. They had heard the message. And they still couldn't figure out if this was truly the Son of God. Now here, Nicodemus, I believe Nicodemus had come to find out that Jesus truly was the Son of God. But everybody was looking at him saying, "Did the Scripture say he's going to come out of Galilee?" But you know what? Jesus came and he presented himself as the Son of God. Now, here in John chapter number 8, this religious crowd who hated the Lord, they hated the truth that he gave to them, they're going to come and they're going to challenge him. And I want you to notice here, in John chapter 7, verse 53, every man went unto his own house. Those Jewish leaders, they could not defeat Jesus, okay? You can't defeat Jesus. You can't defeat him. Nor could they deny the words that he spoke there in the temple. They couldn't deny the facts. And if you'll remember, when the soldiers came back, if you go back here to the officers, go back to verse number 45, all right? Verse 45, remember they sent officers to go get him, bring him back. We're going to do away with him. The Bible said, then came the officers to the priest and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, the Pharisees and the priest said unto them, why have you not brought him? And those officers, when they heard the Lord Jesus, listen to the answer they gave. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Never a man. There was no one that spoke words of comfort and joy like the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the officers of the temple realized who this Savior was. And the Pharisees, all mad at the officers now, they said, are ye also deceived? And they couldn't believe that people were believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, they had not been able to silence the Lord Jesus. They had not been able to capture him or to put him to death. Why? Because his time was not yet come. And also now, others within their own little groups were turning unto Jesus and believing on him. Isn't it great when folks come to Jesus? Amen. You know, there are folks that sometimes you think, man, could they ever be saved? And then the Word of God speaks to their heart. It melts that old heart of stone, and they come to know Christ as their Savior. Man, what a blessing that is. So what could they do now to stop this man, Jesus? Well, John chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1, we see what they tried to do. And I want us to look at this today. John chapter 8, verses 1, starting here in verse number 1, the Bible said, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and he taught them. Now, buddy, that shows you the love that Jesus had for these people. They came to him. They came to where he was. They weren't doing that when the scribes and the Pharisees and all this other, the priests and all were there, because they didn't speak with the comfort and the assurance and the compassion that Jesus spoke with. But Jesus came and he loved them. And he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees, the Bible said, brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had seen her in the midst, or set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This, they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Now, I want you to think about what they had done here. I want you to look at the request. While Jesus continued to teach the people in the temple, these wicked scribes and Pharisees continued to search for ways to trip our Savior up. Now, you can't trip God up. But there's no way. The devil can't do it. None of his crowd can do it. But you know what? They tried anyway. And they tried to trip up the Lord Jesus. Their only desire was to trap him and to humiliate him as he had humiliated them earlier. He humiliated them with truth, did he not? He proclaimed truth, and truth got them all upset. And, you know, they did this in two ways. First, they used the word of God deceitfully. Boy, does that not sound like what happened in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter number 3? Where Satan, in the form of a serpent, came and used the word of God deceitfully. He did not tell the truth, did he? And then secondly, these scribes, these Pharisees, they preyed upon the ignorance of the people's knowledge of the Scriptures. You know what? That's what the devil does today. That's why a pastor is always telling us, get in the book and let the book get in you. Amen? Get in the Word of God so that you know what the truth is, so that you know what God's Word says. Don't let the devil and his crowd trip you up because we're not being wise in the Word of God. Don't allow yourself to be ignorant in the Scriptures. These folks didn't know the Scriptures. Why? Because they had not been taught the Scriptures. These scribes and Pharisees only taught them what they wanted them to hear and to know, not what God wanted them to hear and know. And so they deceived the people, and they tried to do this in two different ways. And we see this in verses 3 through 6. Their only desire was to trap the Lord Jesus. Now, in verses 3 and 4, they bring a woman taken in the very act of adultery, and they throw her down at the feet of Jesus. Now, you think about this just a minute. They threw this woman down. Then in verse 5, they claim that Moses and the law said that she should die. And they asked Jesus in front of the people. They said, but now, what do you think? What do you say about this situation? Now, several things need to be noted here. I'm scratching because my face is itchy, okay? This beard is scratchy. Good night. I'll be glad when this is over in a month, okay? All right. No wonder they were so ill, the scribes and Pharisees. They had them big old long beards. I want you to know the several things here at this point in the lesson. I want you to see something here. Number one woman cannot be taken in the very act of adultery alone. Now, it takes two. You know? They took the woman. So my question is, where's the man? Where was the man? It would take two to commit an act of adultery. And she's been caught in the very act of adultery. Okay? She's with someone that's not her husband. And evidently that man is with her and she's not his wife. So where is the man? That's the first question. Second question is this. Just as the devil did in the Garden of Eden, and as he always does with Scripture, they mixed truth with lies. They mixed truth with lies. The Bible does say that the law, you know, what the law of Moses says is that she should die. But that's not all it says. Matter of fact, I want you to look at this with me. Turn back in the Old Testament Scriptures to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 20. And I want you to see what the Word of God says. They mixed truth with lies to gain for their own selfish purpose. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 10. I want you to look at this. The Bible said, and the man, now look at this, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer, that's the man, and the adulteress, that's the woman, shall surely be put to death. They both, according to the law of God, should have been put to death. That's the way God looked at it. That's what God commanded. But that is not what they came and did. They blamed everything on this woman. So where was the man? And more importantly, why was he not brought before Jesus as was the woman? Makes me wonder if he was part of their crowd. Now, I can't prove that, but it sure makes me wonder if he was not part of their friendship somewhere along the line. If he was not a plant. Who knows? I don't know. These were wicked men. And all they wanted to do was deceive the people and to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their response. Now, I want you to see now the reply of our Savior in verses 6 through 8. Look at this. The last part of verse 6 says, let's just read the whole verse. This they say, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone. Let him first cast a stone at her. Now, I don't know what he was writing in that dirt. As he stooped down and began to write, I wonder if he wrote Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. I don't know. But he looked back up at them when they continued to question them, when they continued to question the Savior. And he looked at each of those men and he said, if any of you are without sin, this type sin, why don't you be the first one to cast the stone? Why don't you do this first? Then look at what John 8, 7 said. All right? So when they continued asking him, they obviously didn't read or didn't see what he was writing. But he lifted himself up and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Man, that's a profound statement. But you know what's really profound? Is to see what happens next. So you got to keep reading. Look at verse number 8. And after he said that stuff, okay, he looked at them eyeball to eyeball now, okay, made this proclamation, and then calmly he just stoops right back down. And the Bible said, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Could it be maybe that this time, maybe Jesus began to verbally quote exactly what the law of Moses said concerning what they had accused this woman of? I don't know. The Bible does not say. But he wrote exactly what he wrote. And evidently, it must have spoken to somebody's heart. Because if you look down through here, the next couple verses, things changed. When they heard it, the Bible said in verse number 9, the Bible said, after Jesus spoke and wrote whatever he spoke in the dirt, he said this, and the Bible said, and they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Wow, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I don't know what Jesus wrote. I don't know if he may have quoted it. I want you to turn over to the book of Deuteronomy just a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 17. I don't know if Jesus wrote any of this. I don't know. The scriptures aren't clear about that. But I can only imagine. And in Deuteronomy chapter 17, beginning in verse number 2, the Bible said this, if there be found among you within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone after, or hath gone and served other gods and worshiped them, either the sun or moon or any of the other host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it is true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then thou shalt bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and thou shalt stone them with stones till they die. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shalt he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The hands of the wicked shall be first upon him to put him to death. The hands of the witnesses, I'm sorry, shall be first upon him to put him to death. And afterwards the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from amongst you. Now whatever Jesus may have said, or whatever Jesus may have written, evidently it convicted them of their sin. And you know what? That's what the Word of God does. The Word of God brings conviction. Man, it brought conviction to my heart when I was lost. It brought conviction to your heart when you were lost. It brings conviction to our heart when we do wrong. That's what it's supposed to do. It's a sword. But I want you to see something here. When we think about the convicting Word of God, I want you to see what else happened here that's vitally important in this lesson. I want you to see a couple things. First of all, I want you to see that our Savior's concern for people to know the truth of the Word of God. I believe that he wrote down all that the Scripture said. That's what I believe in my heart. Maybe when I get to heaven, I know I'll know when I get to heaven. We'll all know when we get to heaven what he wrote. But I really believe he wrote down what the truth of the Word of God said. Why? Because he wanted people to know the truth. He wanted them to know the truth. He wasn't concerned with that religious crowd or what they had to say. He wanted the people to know what thus saith the Lord. He wanted them to know the truth. What exactly does the Bible say? Listen, I've had folks come to me and say, well, the Bible said this. And I said, well, where does it say that? Well, I know it's over in such and such chapter and such and such book of the Bible. I said, well, let's just turn there and look at that, and let's read that, okay, all right? And then we get to it, and they've only quoted just a part of that verse or what was convenient for them. And then we read the whole thing in context. I say, now, is that really what Jesus said? Well, wells are deep, okay? You can't see down in those things. Jesus wanted them, number one, to know truth. And folks, if you want to know truth today, go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. Jesus wanted all the people to know truth. He wanted them to believe the truth. And he wanted them to know that the scribes and Pharisees had not been telling them the truth. But I'll be honest with you, I think he really wanted the scribes and Pharisees to understand truth as well. You say, how could you know that? How could you say that? These were wicked men. They were accusing Jesus. They were trying to put him to death. Let me tell you how I know that God wanted them to know the truth as well. Because in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God's word says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise to us, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wanted these men to come to repentance. He wanted them to see the truth and to acknowledge him as the Lord and Savior. But they chose not to do that. So first of all, I want you to see the compassion our Savior had for the people, including the scribes and the Pharisees, to know truth. But secondly, I want you to see this. I want you to see our Savior's love. His love and compassion for those who have sinned against God. You know what? Everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. But very few folks go down and read the next verse, verse 17. It says this. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. You see, God is not willing that any should perish. And he wants us to understand that even though we have sinned, and we are guilty of that, every one of us have sinned. We've all gone astray. We all deserve the payment for sin, which is death and separation from God for all eternity. We deserve that. But in spite of that fact, God still loved us. Amen. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, it said, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came to suffer, to bleed, to die, to pay the debt that you and I owe. What was that debt? The wages of sin is what? Death. Separation from God. Jesus came to pay that debt. And this woman, no doubt, knew that she was a sinner. She knew that. She was expecting not only condemnation for her sin, but she was rightly expecting to die because of her sin. She just figured she's going to die. She's going to die. She's going to perish without any hope, without any love, without anybody having any kind of compassion on her whatsoever until she met Jesus. Amen? And you know what? I thought the same thing before I got saved. Man, I thought for sure I'm going to die and go to hell. But God, I don't want to die and go to hell, but I don't know what to do. I've been sprinkled. I've learned catechisms. I've been baptized in a Baptist church. I've done all these things, and nothing has settled in my heart. And man, I found out that God loved me. And you know what? Let's read verses 10 and 11 in this chapter. John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. I want you to see something. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know what? Jesus had compassion for this woman. He had a concern for her. And you know what? That's why we as born-again believers need to have compassion on folks. Listen, were it not for the grace of God, that could be you. That could be me. It could be any of us today. Were it not for the grace and mercy of our Lord God, man, we'd all be in hell burning forever and forever, screaming in our torment today. But God so loved the world. And what Jesus had spoken and what Jesus had written caused all this woman's accusers to flee the scene. Why do you reckon that was? I think it was because they were all guilty. I think they knew that they had been shown to be guilty. And they walked off. And Jesus not only showed his care and concern for sinners, but in these verses, he demonstrated his power as God in the flesh to forgive sin and to cleanse this woman from all unrighteousness. You know what? It's by faith that we believe on the Savior, is it not? She was expecting to die. And God showed forth his love to her. And he looked at her and he said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee?" And look at what she said. Verse number 11. She said, "No man, Lord." Now this woman was obviously a sinner. No doubt. She obviously was quite aware of that fact. But look at it. This woman had probably been in many of the temple services, okay? Where they did things like this. They did this and it was known by the people. But the Word of God is what made all the difference to this woman. It was the Word of God, both written and spoken, that made the difference in her lives and even in the lives of those that accused her of doing wrong. And you know, Jesus had spoken, he had written the Word of God in the presence of that woman. She had heard it and she had seen it. And you know, it reminds me of a passage of Scripture in the book of Romans chapter 10. I want you to turn there just a moment. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Everybody knows this verse, verse number 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know that verse, right? That whosoever is you, that's me. I am a whosoever today. Okay? You are too. But I want you to look at verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" This woman was in the midst of the scribes and the Pharisees and never heard the truth of the Word of God. She was used, she was abused, and then she was accused and left to die. No man caring for her soul. But there came one on the scene that cared for her just like he cared for you, just like he cared for me, and he proved who he was. Amen? Now, how was she going to be able to hear about that unless she could hear the message of the gospel? Go down to verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Man, when I heard and understood the Word of God, I didn't like the fact that I was a sinner. The Word of God explained that to me. I didn't like that fact. But what I did love was the fact that in spite of my sin, God still loved me. And he cared for me. And the Word of God is what had opened this woman's eyes to truth. To truth. That God would love her. That God would care for her. So that now she could know and believe the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Son of God, the living truth, and she could receive him as her own personal Savior. And folks, you listen to me today. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, he said, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." From the uttermost to the guttermost, amen. God saves us all. He's willing to save whosoever will come unto him. And Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Chapter 12, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 3. He said this, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." That's how they knew that the priests and the scribes and these Pharisees and all these people, they weren't of God. because they accused the Lord Jesus. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And this woman looked up at Jesus and said, "No man condemns me, Lord. No man." And Jesus looked at her in verse number 11. And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Amen. You know what? The day that the Lord looked at me on March the 28th, 1975, and I trusted Him as my own personal Savior, I believed on Him with all of my heart, I became His child. And this woman, no doubt that day when Jesus forgave her and He looked at her, He saw her, what she was a sinner. But He didn't condemn her. He forgave her. And you know what? He gave her a command. And Jesus had not only forgiven her, but He commanded her and said, "Now go and sin no more." You know what? Since the day I got saved, I don't want to go and do the things I used to do before I got saved. Amen? You know what? Since you got saved, you don't want to go back and do those old things anymore. You don't want to cuss and fuss and use God's name in vain and do bad things. Use the drugs and all the other things that you used to do before you got saved. Why? Because it is the Lord Jesus Christ that made the difference in your life. And that's what made the difference in this woman's life. Jesus had given her what religion could not give her. Maybe she went to those scribes and Pharisees for help. And they used her and abused her and then accused her. They were not concerned for her at all. But Jesus did. Now I want you to think about this morning. Jesus gave her love. He gave her mercy. He gave her forgiveness of sin. Oh, what a change Jesus makes in a person's life. Amen. Amen. What has He done for you today? And you know what? As we celebrate Valentine's Day, I know that Valentine's Day was yesterday. And we talk about, you know, giving little gifts and things like that. But you know what? I want the Lord Jesus to know I love Him. Because of what He has done for me. He forgave me. He did not condemn me. And He said, "Now listen, if you love me, go and sin no more." And our job now is to go and tell others what Christ can do for them. And you know what? When we begin to do that, there is a river of joy that floods up in our hearts and our souls that we can't help but want to share with other people. Man, I'm thankful for that today. Amen. Let me ask you something today. What kind of joy do you think that this once vile and sinful woman now had in her new life in Christ? What kind of joy do you think she had in her life now? Buddy, I think she had something that was worth speaking about. Amen. I believe she wanted to go and tell everybody. And you know what? It's that same kind of joy that needs to be in my life and in your life today. As we live for the Lord and we serve Him and we try to tell others about Him. Rivers of living joy. Man, what a blessing it is to know Jesus as our Savior today. Think about it today. What kind of joy is in my heart today? I asked the question when we first started this lesson. And this is the question I ask. Is the joy of your salvation like a river of living water today? Or is it like a still, stagnant pond that really no one wants to be around? What kind of joy is in your heart today? Man, I want it to be one that's living. Amen? Whenever anybody asks me, "Brother Ray, how you doing today?" I may be feeling lousy. I may be looking lousy. I may be smelling lousy. I may be just bad-tempered that day and everything else. But you know what? I can always answer them. I'm saved by grace. And that'll never change. Amen? It'll never change in your heart It'll never change in my heart if you know the Savior. Let's live in the joy that Jesus gives today. Amen. The joy of our salvation. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I know that the lesson today, as we look at this thing, we look and we are reminded of just how that you love us and how that you care for our soul. And Lord, I was no more deserving of your love and mercy than this poor woman was that was thrown down at the feet of Jesus. She was accused. And Lord, they just wanted to see her die. They wanted to hurt your name. They wanted to do everything they could do to cause people to think that you are not the Son of God. But Lord, you did something for her that you did for me some 50 years ago now. You didn't condemn me, but you forgave me. And you saved me. And you changed me. And Lord, now I'm drinking from a new fountain. Amen. And Lord, I'm thankful today for what you've done for my life. Lord, help us, God, as believers, born-again believers, to share the joy of our great salvation with everybody that we see and meet. Help us, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, our soul, our might. And in everything that we do, God, help us to lift up and glorify your name and let folks know of your great compassion and love for them. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for getting to be in Sunday school class.